This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas, flying solo today for the whole show. Micah is currently slanging that propane like no other right now, and Andy is doing honeydews, from what I hear, going to pick up Christmas presents. So I am by myself today, but that doesn't change how awesome this freaking show is. We're 300 episodes into our podcast, and I have never heard a story like this. I've never heard about this, but we talked to Owen from Oklahoma today, and Owen killed a freaking dwarf buck. And if you are not on social media or YouTube, look at the thumbnail somehow. If you can check out the Instagram post about the episode or the YouTube thumbnail, you'll see what I'm talking about. This thing looks like a medium-sized dog with a 140-inch rack on it. And the rack looks so much bigger because the damn thing is so little. So it is a dwarf deer. We don't know. We talk about it a little bit in the show, but we don't know any of the science behind it. I would like to go find out some more about it. I've never seen one in person. I've never heard about one. I'm sure they're out there. If you have killed one before, you should tag us in a picture because it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I just happened to stumble upon it, to be honest with you. I don't remember how I saw the photo. I didn't have any connections with Owen, but I see it, and I reached out to him, and him and I are doing a show. So I appreciate Owen coming on. He does a great job telling the story. So check Owen out on his social media. Let's do some sponsors before we get into the show. Well, who do we want to start with? Let's start with OnX, man. Use the code MWW20 for 20% off. Thank you to them for helping us put on our Coyote Season kickoff party a few weeks ago. It was a success, in my opinion. As of now, we have a few hats left over. If anybody wants to reach out and buy one, they're $30. We'll ship them to you for that amount. We got a few colors left over from the show. So check out OnX, reveal cameras by Tacticam. Not sure what Owen uses. We talked about some trail cam photos, but you know, I've got 17 cameras out, and most of them still have battery life, and they've been out for several months at this point. So check out Reveal Cameras. Jason Patterson, Land Team, Whitetail Properties, 816-824-6282. Winter's a great time to be looking at properties. You can see travel patterns better. You can see, you know, the property easier because stuff's not on trees. So now is a decent time to check that sort of stuff out. Lucky Buck Mineral, get that stuff back out in the ground for the deer. I need to do that for sure, just because, you know, it's that time that they're starting to look for food again. They're starting to try to get healthy again. And so that Lucky Buck can help them. Midwest Gunworks, MidwestGunworks.com. Find all kinds of awesome stuff. Parts, guns, shotguns. They're a Benelli. Is it a Benelli? I don't remember. Service provider, so they're really good at working on shotguns as well. Athon Optics. Find a dealer near you. If you don't know one, reach out. We know two awesome dealers at least. Might even know three. I can't remember. One of our buddies might be became one. But check out Athlon Optics. My Kronos Thermal will be in use in the next couple weeks. And then HuxWorks, finally. Flow-through technology. We should be out at SHOT Show with HuxWorks this year. Details are still not finalized, but our plan is to be out at SHOT Show this year and hoping to find out some cool information and do a show with our guys at HuxWorks. So check out HuxWorks and their awesome flow-through suppressor technology. That's all I got. You know, give us a like, follow us on YouTube, we'd appreciate all the 5-star reviews, all that stuff. So without further ado, let's get into our show with Owen from Oklahoma. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Okay. So we have got a treat today because we are almost 300 episodes into our podcast. And I can promise you I've never, ever talked to anybody about a deer like this. So I've never even seen a deer like this. So I hope we get a lot of like responses from people on this one, like, hey, oh, you know, my brother did this and I've just never seen anything like this. So we are talking to Owen Bellis of Oklahoma. Owen, what's up, man?
What's going on, everyone?
I'm excited to talk to you. We're excited to talk to you. Andy and Micah both say hi. Micah is a propane delivery driver, so he is in the middle of busy season. And Andy was sent on a honeydew errand to pick up a Christmas gift. He was planning on being here. So, anyway, I get the treat of hearing the story before anybody else.
Yeah. Hey, that's good.
So, Owen, kind of before we get into like the whole story, tell us about who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
So, my name's Owen Bellis. I'm originally from Independence, Missouri. I moved down here to Oklahoma when I was about 10 years old with my dad. And he had an outfitting business for 15 years. So I grew up in the hunting side of it, guiding, high fence hog hunts, exotics, free range whitetail, waterfowl hunts, turkey hunts, stuff like that. And now I work for Arrowhead Land Company. I'm a real estate agent, here out of Oklahoma. We're based in 16 different states. So, that's basically what I do.
So you left Missouri when you were about 10 years old.
Yep.
Did you hunt growing up? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
you moved to an area where your dad was outfitting, but like, what was your background?
So like in Missouri, I didn't hunt that much. I lived up there with my mom, and my dad lived down here. And so that side of the family really wasn't into hunting that much. Mm-hmm. So, and I would only come down here to Oklahoma in the summers. And I mean, the only thing to hunt would be hogs and coyotes and stuff then. So that's about all I did when I came down then. But when I moved down for good, when I was 10 years old, then it started heating up pretty heavily. And I was hunting as much as I can.
So especially when your dad sounds like worked for or owned or something, an outfitting business, like you were around it.
I mean, I was talking about this on the other podcast. I would sneak in the high fence when I wasn't supposed to, and I'd be in there trying to kill hogs, just milling around when no one was there.
Just wandering around like literally a kid in a candy store.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I was loving it out there. It was crazy. And then next thing you know, I'd hear my dad yelling. I'm like, oh, no, I'm about to be in so much trouble.
Well, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, they say, right?
That's true.
100%. I'm not so sure how true that is, but hey, we get it. Would you say, like, your background, I mean, is archery kind of – I kind of went through your page. Like, we talked before we started recording. You and I don't know each other before we met today. And we were trying to figure out how I even found, you know, this story. But so it's like, is bow hunting your thing? Is that your kind of, like, if you could only do one thing, would it be bow hunting? What is your kind of, like, your top two hunting passions? What would you call them?
Yeah, it would – honestly, man, like, waterfowl hunting probably has my heart the most. That's probably got to be number one. And then number two is archery hunting.
Nice.
It doesn't matter really what it is. I mean, I'll gun hunt, if I have to, but I personally don't like it that much.
You're good.
But archery hunting's usually like, that's my thing.
Yeah. Really. We're kind of that way too. I mean, you are from Missouri originally, so you know that our rifle season, you know, usually falls second week of November, right in the rut. And if I haven't killed something by then, I'm usually pissed off enough that the boomstick comes out.
It has to at least one time a year.
Although I will say, like, even when I've killed something, it's so tempting. You're like, gosh, I want to kill you that badly that I know that if I only get within 100 yards of you, you're dead. So once it, like this year, when I've got three sons now, so the boomstick comes out during youth season and then during rifle season, just, you know, to give them better chances of getting a deer. But
yeah.
Okay. So obviously archery is, you know, kind of our passion too, when it comes to that. Like if you put a gun to our heads and said, the only way you can hunt is one specific way the rest of your life, it would be with a bow. Right. So, and we're talking about deer here. What's your bow setup? I'm just curious.
So it's a Matthews V3X.
Okay.
I'm running an Excel driver, like landslide, just the mount, and then I have a Ultra View scope on it. This first year I ran it, I was kind of skeptical. I love it now. And then just a QAD rest on it, and then two Matthews stabilizer, a front and a back bar, and then I got the Easton 5.0s for this year.
Okay.
I like them a lot, actually. I tinker with so much stuff. I switch around all the time. And then I've been shooting the Severs 1.75s quite a bit, okay? And then I switched on the midget deer. I shot him with a Beast 2.2-inch.
I was getting ready to say, I bet you went to a Beast.
I had to try it. Had to.
So I have not shot anything with the Sever 1.75 hybrid yet, because I've got the original 1.5s. I've still got those.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I've got Sever 1.75 hybrids. They're in two of my arrows. But I'm going to keep – because I'll tell you what, everything I've shot with the 1.5s, I mean, it hasn't made it 50 yards before, just, you know, it looks like it got shot with a shotgun. And same thing with my sons. So, however, we've got an archery shop that we love right here near us, and he sells Beasts, and he also shoots them. And mm-hmm. he is like, dude, these things are legit. I'm like, I'm going to have to try them at some point. But I'll tell you, the Sever is like, I'm the exact opposite of you. When I find something, I don't change. I still shoot. Like, I had a Bowtech Assassin that I shot until last season because I wouldn't get a new bow.
Yeah.
And then I finally got a, well, I guess it was two seasons. Then I finally got a new bow. But I didn't change broadheads. And I still use the same arrows I used back on that Assassin. Same type of arrow. Same fletchings. Like, if stuff works for me, I just don't switch very often. And so, like, the Severs, I mean, they just have hammered deer after deer after deer for me, Micah, and Andy. And so it's like, okay, maybe when I run out, I'll try the beast, you know, just to see.
That's kind of what I did with it. But the only problem I had with the Severs, I've never lost a deer with them, which I probably shouldn't switch then. But I've had them, you know, where they have that technology where they're supposed to avoid the bone, like they're supposed to kind of go around it. I've had them ricochet. Like off ribs and deflect going like I shot a deer in Kansas this year and it was a perfect shot, like right behind the shoulder. Well, it hit a rib and ricocheted out back through the lung or the liver and the guts. But I mean, the deer died in 100 yards.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? I'll try. Well, I actually shot another deer with the Sever. And I shouldn't probably switched after I shot him quartering in right through the shoulder. And he ran 80 yards and had a blood trail that was insane. It was unreal. It looked like I just opened up milk jugs of blood and just sprayed
dumped
it
out.
It was all over the trees. Like, it was crazy. And then I was like, you know what? Let me buy new broadheads for some reason.
I get it. You're a tinkerer, and that's pretty normal. That's pretty common. I was going to say, so I haven't shot a beast, and I haven't even really touched. I mean, I've seen a package of them. So the Severs, you just said, they've got that technology where they're supposed to pivot around bones. Isn't the beast a similar technology? Isn't there something with the beast where it is also supposed to do something like that? Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. So when it hits, like, it hits the fur, it opens up. And then when it hits bone, it closes back down. So, like, on that midget deer, like, when I looked at his carcass hanging up, like, it went right on the flesh, opened up, and then it closed through the ribs and then opened back up in the vitals. And then when it hit the opposite side ribs, it closed again and then opened back up.
Interesting. That's cool.
They're cool. Yeah, they're cool. And they're super sharp. I mean, God dang. They cut me right after I closed it after I took out that deer.
Well, I'll tell you, that's been my biggest. So I never shot mechanicals until the Severs.
Okay.
And mostly because we went out, I told you I don't like changing, right? So we would go out west and hunt elk, and I didn't want to have a setup for whitetail and then a setup for elk. I wanted a setup that would take care of both. So I did a lot of fixed broadheads, and that's all I ever hunted with. Well, we kind of stopped going out west, or at least I did, for the time being, and I just wanted to try. Honestly, I got tired, so, and this isn't a knock on the company, but you've heard of Iron Will broadheads?
Yeah.
Well, I had a hard time tuning those broadheads to certain arrows, and I had loud arrows at certain times when I was shooting. So I just kind of was like, man, it just got pretty cumbersome. And then if I would mess an arrow up shooting, I'd have to take that one out of the batch and figure out a new arrow. And it just, it was nice to screw a broadhead onto an arrow and shoot the damn thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know? And so that's why I originally switched to those Severs, and they've just been, like I said, really good. And then the other side is, when I bought those Iron Wills, they're not cheap. They're really expensive, actually. And so, not that the Severs are super cheap. They used to be about $12 a piece. I think they've kind of went up to about $15 to $19 a piece, depending on which one you're buying. But I would shoot an animal, and I'd be like, okay, well, trash, next one. Like, it didn't bother me that I didn't have to reuse it because it was cheap enough. Yeah. They're getting more expensive now, where if I don't mess up the ferrule or something like that, or the tip, then I'll reuse them. But, that was the other reason. I just, every time I shot those Iron Wills, I'd bring them inside and resharpen them and have to, like, it just kind of was a lot of extra effort.
Have you bent any ferrules on those Severs?
No.
I haven't either.
No. That's and I did a lot of – so there's a guy up in Iowa named John – oh, my gosh, I just lost his name. He does a lot of broadhead tests. And you'll know who I'm talking about. As soon as we get done, I'll remember his name. You watch.
Okay.
But he's had some health issues lately, but he does broadhead tests, and he tests every broadhead the exact same way. And so it's like a scientific method is what he's the best he can get. And he did that with mechanicals. Now, at the time, Beast didn't exist, and the Severs got really good scores. So that's when I originally decided to try the Severs. And then we met the guys at Sever and talked to them about it, and so it's been great. But yeah, I want to try the Beast. Long story short, to wrap a bow on that. But yeah, though, so cool. Okay, so you've kind of alluded to it a few times, but the deer we're going to talk about today is a midget or a dwarf. I don't know if we're supposed to say midget.
Correct, maybe dwarf.
I'm probably going to call it the dwarf deer in the title. But
yeah, that'll probably be good. I'll start calling it the dwarf deer.
Well, you know, some people have that last name too, so it's like, well, maybe his last name is Owen Midget. I don't know. But so this deer is like a dog with a big-ass rack on it. And so I'll have you explain it here in a minute, but before we, you know, get into the deer itself and the hunting, talk about the property itself that you hunted him on. Just kind of basic layout, you know, is it a big parcel, small parcel, timber, you know, obviously I don't know where you're at in Oklahoma other than general area. So kind of what is the hunting scenario like there?
So I shot him on 160 acres, that my dad purchased, to sell the property next door. The property next door is 1200 acres that hasn't been really hunted in 50 years. And so big mature oak trees, right when you pull in, it looks off a big bluff all through, the big canyon.
Okay.
There's not roads for like miles back there. And so right when it drops off that bottom where I shot him at, it's all like, there's an open pasture and there's a whole bunch of salt cedars. And we don't really get salt cedars that much in that area of Oklahoma, but some reason they're down in there. I don't know how they got there. And then there's big willow tree, little flats down there too. And then it goes up into another ridge with big oak trees. And so back on, like when you pull into that 160, that was the only way to access the big property as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's deer everywhere. It's unreal. Unreal, unreal. But like these ridges, they kind of all just funnel to each other. It's really weird. Like a big triangle in a way. And all those deer I would have them on camera 2 miles away on that big property. And next thing you know, they would show up on the 160. Every single deer.
Like those ridges kind of ran to a single hub.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it was crazy. Like I was getting deer on camera all the way over there on the very far south end of that big place. And they would legit show up on the ridge on the 160 every time. Like, oh, there it is. There he is.
That's crazy.
Just showed up. Yeah. Crazy. And it was in Seminole County, Oklahoma, which is just, I mean, it's some thick stuff, not a lot of open stuff, just a lot of oak trees.
Gotcha. Not a lot of water, I'm guessing, in that general area? Or?
Well, it was on, it was on the Little River.
Okay, so there is water for them.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a big marsh on the property as well, so there was water around, a bunch of ponds, some wet weather creeks running through it too.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes when I think about, like, Oklahoma, I think about western Kansas, you know, like, miles of just drainages that sometimes are dry when it's, you know, dry season.
Yeah.
You know, I've been down to Oklahoma. My grandpa's from there. And so, but like Oklahoma's a little bit like Missouri when like it changes pretty quickly.
It's diverse.
Yeah.
It's really diverse.
And so, you know, I don't know, obviously, Oklahoma, like I do this state. And so, you know, it's interesting to hear about the different, you know, topographies. And I would give anything to have a 1,200 acre property with not a single road anywhere near it.
That'd be cool. Know it's it's honestly wild. Like, I mean, there was no hunting pressure around it. Like, I sold the place to the south of it too.
Yeah,
they don't even hunt 329 acres. They don't even hunt either.
Damn,
it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Okay, so you start. So was this the first year you hunted this 160?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, first year.
So. Obviously, you started hunting it. I'm guessing you put trail cams out because you were already talking about getting photos. So did you immediately start getting pictures of this deer in particular?
No.
Was he outside of, did you get those pictures? I'm assuming he wasn't the only one you might have been after in that area.
No. Yeah. No, we had On the, both of those properties, I think we had probably 8 shooters.
Damn.
And all the deer were at least 4.5. Most of the deer were 5.5 plus. And the biggest deer was, he was probably 160 inches. And I really didn't have it. What's, it kind of bothered me. I didn't have it set up like, because we were just, we bought it to sell it.
Right.
And so it wasn't like we were setting it up to really hunt it. But no, I didn't have pictures of him until maybe a week before I killed him. But we hunted, I had a buddy that works for us too. We ended up killing 4 bucks on that place over 5.5 years old on that 160.
Fruitful.
Unreal. I mean, unreal. Three out of the same stand.
Damn.
Yeah, 3 out of the same stand.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it wasn't a hunted property next to a property that wasn't hunted either.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild. My buddy killed a deer, a mainframe 8-pointer that was like 148 inches off it. And then I killed a deer that I called the 2-footer. He was basically an 8-pointer, and he was like mid 140s too, and 2-foot wide. And then he killed another nice 8-pointer, like another 140 incher out of the same stand, and actually killed it 12 hours after I killed that 2-foot deer out of that stand. And it ran, we were tracking its blood on top of my deer's blood, and died on the exact same tree.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
So then that, needless to say, you're not selling this property now.
No, selling it.
That would be the worst part about, I'm sorry. So we have some good partners that are land, agents up here. And that would be the worst part about being an agent is I'd buy a property, be like, I'm not selling it.
Yeah, it was tough. I told my dad, I was like, man, I don't know if you can sell this place. Like, this place has too many big deer on it. And I just took cameras off it not that long ago. And I mean, I was still having new deer show up on it every couple days.
Wow.
And just insane.
Missouri, your moment is finally here because DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is now live in our state. Missouri fans know game day, the tailgates, the noise, the passion. Now with DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bring that same energy to every snap, every touchdown, every win. And right now, new Missouri customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets instantly. No waits, no nonsense, just pure action powered by America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MWW. New Missouri customers bet just $5, get $300 in bonus bets instantly. That is code MWW. The crown is yours. In partnership with DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus, physically present in Missouri. Eligibility and restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. So you had obviously other shooters. You were potentially after, like you said, you didn't get actually a photo of this deer until about a week before you killed him or something like that, I think I heard you say.
Yeah.
So the first time you got a photo of him, like, just explain the picture. Like, what did it look like? We already talked about this, so but we'll act like you never told me this. But explain that first photo and just kind of what you thought.
Yeah, so I had it going. Okay, so actually, I'll go back a little bit. So I hunted one morning there, and me and my dad were about to show the whole property, the 160 and the 1,200 acres. And so I get out of the stand, I get back, going to unload the side-by-sides or whatnot, and that ridge, I mean, you can see miles up on top of that ridge. Well, we're sitting up there, and I see your deer moving through those willow trees down there in that bottom. And I'm like, man, that's a deer. Like, let me get my binos. So I glass him up in the binos, and I see his rack. I'm like, that's a good deer. But something just didn't look right with him. Like, it was kind of funky. I was like, there's something weird going on there. Like, that deer, like, his body's really small, but his horns are really big.
Huge.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so we went down there, and there was a giant rub. I have a photo of the rub. I mean, it was a cedar tree. I mean, that was this big around, and it was just tore up. And I was like, I got to get a camera down here. So I put a camera down there, and it's facing the trail looking north. and he was the first deer on it. And he was just walking up the trail, but the only, like, all I could see was, like, his back up.
So, like away from you? Away from the photo?
Yes,
or the camera?
Like, always, the only photos I got was always from behind.
Okay.
And he was walking up the trail, and I never thought anything about it. And I had other bucks walk on there, and I could
just
see
his
whole body.
Register.
Yeah, it just didn't register to me.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't thinking about it. And, yeah, so he was just walking up the trail.
Well, first off, why would you?
I know, yeah. Like,
I've never even heard of a damn midget deer, you know, like, or dwarf deer, excuse me. You know, yeah. So, like, why would that be something that you thought, right?
Correct.
And we've all seen, correct. The deer, it's probably right out of screen. He weighed 292 pounds on the hoof. Like, giant, you know, big deer. And I know some deer are bigger than others, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But, like, that's just what you think. Like, oh, he's got a big body. Well, he's rutted up or whatever. Or, yeah, he's a 290-pounder. He's got a lot of corn to eat, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas, and some deer just have smaller bodies. I know, like, Micah killed 178-inch deer 3 years ago, and he had a pretty small body, but 180-inch rack, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so you just don't think about it much. I mean, you know, just kind of why would you think it? You know, so
yeah, it's like people. I mean, some people are tall, some people are short. That's how that's how I thought about it, you know?
Yeah. That's just funny because in our podcast, Andy's 6'7", and I'm 5'7".
Oh, gosh.
He is literally 1 foot taller than me.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, it's just kind of fun. Like, yeah, that's true, right? But the difference is, like, so you get that camera. Let's say you have two bucks walking next to each other and equating them to me and Andy. Andy's 6'7", I'm 5'7". Okay, that deer's got a bigger body than that deer. But that would be like Andy walking next to my son, who's 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or even, and so, I mean, yes, it still didn't register, but, you know, looking back now, you're like, okay, I don't see how
it
I didn't notice that. Right, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense now. But then, like, I didn't see him for a while, and I was actually up in Kansas. We have a farm up there, and we had a buddy coming in out of Alaska to hunt. He hunts with us every year, and I already filled my tag. So I was like, I'll go up there, and he drew a mule deer tag. So I was like, I'll guide you up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was up there for like 7 to 10 days. I can't really remember, but we were on our way back, and I got a photo of that deer that morning. And same deal, same exact photo it looked like. I mean, it was the exact same photo. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go hunt this deer. And gosh dang, it was like 70 degrees. It was ridiculously hot.
It was a hot year up until, I mean, you know, a couple months or month ago or so, it finally snapped, but
yeah,
the rut was hotter than hell. I remember that.
Oh gosh. It was miserable.
Yeah.
It was miserable to sit in a tree. I was like, this is not
I'm like, wearing like, I'm short sleeves.
Yes. Like, what's going on? You couldn't sit in a box blind.
Oh,
I mean, you may have a heart attack.
Yep. It's like, what are those things that people like to sit in and sweat? A sauna?
A sauna. That's how it is. Yeah. In November.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. But, yeah, I went down in there, and I didn't have a set hung for him at all. I just had a saddle, and I was like, you know what? I'll find a tree in this bottom. Hopefully I can find a good one. I picked the worst tree possible. I don't know why I did. I don't even know. I forgot what those trees are called, but with the ones with all the thorns on them.
Oh, thorny locust?
Yes, a locust tree.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I picked the absolute worst tree. I was bleeding by the time
I was going to say, that. Those are like 3-inch long thorns, too.
Yeah, I was cut up so bad. I get up in there. I'm like, I'm mad now. I'm like, I'm sweating. I'm bleeding. Like, this is not cool. And so I'm sitting there, and I haven't seen anything. It's getting probably to an hour till dark. And I see two does come off this ridge, and they legit walk right under me. And I should have shot this doe. I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt, but she had a pink nose. A pink nose, and she had white on her head.
So she was piebald.
She was a piebald doe.
Yeah.
And I didn't shoot her. Now I'm kicking myself in the butt for not doing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she walked through there.
Your taxidermy bill would have been real expensive because I'm telling you right now, we haven't talked about this yet, but I'm telling you right now, if you would have shot a piebald doe, and if I guess the only piebald markings on her were on her head, then you could get a shoulder of her. And then this freaking deer, which we'll talk. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but yeah, your taxidermy bill could have been real rough, is what I'm saying.
It could have been. She came by and I texted my dad. I was like, "You're not gonna believe what I just seen. Like, this deer had a pink nose and she had white on her head, like crazy." He's like, "Dude, did you not kill her?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." He's like, "Oh my gosh, dude." Well, I had a, and there was hogs on this place too.
Okay.
And I heard some stuff moving up on the ridge. I was like, "Oh, this is a buck chasing a doe." I get ready. 5 hogs come running through there. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, got me all excited for no reason.
That's like, obviously you deal with squirrels and raccoons, right? That's what like we. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. it's a deer. No, it's a freaking squirrel. Yeah. You have to add hogs to that. Which where we're at, we don't have hogs. Thank God.
Thank God.
And
you guys do not want them.
We've got them down in the southern part of the state, but hopefully they stay down there. But dear Lord, like that would be no fun. Be like, I'm assuming they make a decent amount of noise.
Oh yeah.
And so you think there's a chase going on, and then that would really piss me off.
Yeah, I mean it sounds like like a deer, full blown running chasing a doe.
Damn.
And they're just barely moving through the
just
woods.
Walking.
Yeah, just walking.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they scare everything off. Like,
do they?
They'll go through there chomping, making a whole bunch of noise. It's ridiculous.
Other animals don't like to be around them.
No. And so they move on. I couldn't get a shot at them. And I had some deer coming from the north walking through this drainage to me. And I hear another sound up the ridge that sounds like hogs again. I'm like, these dang hogs. Like, gosh dang.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I look up and that buck's just standing there. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm like, that's him.
How far?
First time? He was probably 80 yards.
And nothing registered with you then. It was just, I see a big ass buck. Okay.
Yes,
keep going.
Like, it's the deer I'm in there after. Like, this, I'm shaking now.
Yeah.
And so I grab my bow and he's walking down this. He gets to walking down this trail. Those hogs walk down. It was 35 yards. And so I turn my sight 35, draw. Right when he hits that opening, instead of him keep on walking broadside, he turns right at me and starts walking at me. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I let down. I'm like, he's walking this way. He's going to be 20 or less. So I changed it to 20. And he's also blind in one eye.
Okay.
So he was blind in one eye. And so he walks right at my opening. Meh. Meh. He didn't stop. I was like, meh. And finally he stopped. Never looked at me. He just looked straight forward and put it right behind the shoulder. Thunk. Perfect. Like, couldn't have made a better shot. And he runs like 50 yards, and he's sitting there just like standing there licking his nose. And the blood coming out of him, I can see it with my binos. It's like brown. I'm like, what is going on? Like, this the hole is right behind the shoulder.
Right.
And I was waiting for him to go down. He never went down. He started walking, walked off. I stayed in the tree till dark. I'm like, I smoked this deer.
Not really sure what just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way, like, he's not dead. Like, I just shot him with this broadhead that's huge. Like, there's no way. And still did not know that he was a dwarf deer.
Right. Still nothing had registered. Yeah.
No, nothing had registered. And so I get down. It was a pass-through. Look at my arrow. My arrow's, like, barely had any blood on it.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what did I just do? Like, did I just, like, I shoot a Luminoc or a Nocturnal or whatever.
Yeah.
And I watched it, like, I've seen the hole. I watched the arrow go through. I'm like, this looked perfect. So, of course, I didn't have a light with me.
You start wondering, like, did my mind play tricks on me? Did I actually,
correct,
you know, miss him way back and think I smoked him? That's what I would have been doing, at least.
Yeah, and that's what I thought because, like, when I seen the blood and then when I started, like, tracking blood, like, to where he walked and stopped, it was all brown. Like, straight brown.
Hmm.
And I was like, I had to have hit him in the guts then. Like, guts or liver. Like,
right.
And there was, like, some darker blood mixed in. I was like, this, like, gosh dang. So I wait for all my buddies. Actually, I went to Brahms. Went into town, went to Brahms, waited all my buddies to get there to help me track. And we get down in there, and we're tracking blood. And he bedded down one time, and I guess I must have bumped him, taken my saddle off the ground.
Gotcha.
Or out of the tree. But all the blood was all brown and like dark blood mixed in. And we tracked him for, I think, 175 yards. and ran out of blood.
Oh, couldn't.
Couldn't find anything. And it's like all tall grass. Like we're in, grass, like perfect stuff to track blood in.
Right.
And nothing. And I'm like, I'm panicking now. I'm like, I know I smoked this deer. There's no way this deer is alive. But you always see like those videos, like scrolling through Instagram, trail camera videos of those deer with like the hole right behind the shoulder.
Yeah, you can see the shoulder moving. Yeah, yes. Some of the craziest stuff.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've had such a good year. Like maybe this is, I just had to have this happen to me. Maybe, like it was bound to happen to me eventually. That's how I felt. And so I don't know in Missouri if thermal drones are legal.
They are. Yep.
They are. Okay.
Yep.
So we have a drone company here that we use. And so I called him up, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be there in an hour." And so he gets there, we're talking, and he's like, show me where he ran or whatever. I showed him, and he was like, "All right, I'm going to give it a Hail Mary." He's like, "I like to do this every time." And he flew it up, went right to where I said that he walked, and 50 yards from where we stopped, he was laying there dead. He's like, "Oh, there he is." I'm like,
just like that.
Okay. And so that thermal drone stuff is really cool. Yeah. Like he sent me the pin to it and it put it on Onyx. Walked right to it. And so we're all stoked. We're all having a good time walking down there. He looked weird from the photo, like of him spotlighted. He looked really weird on the ground. I was like, "Is that the deer I shot?"
Yeah, like disproportionate almost.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And I have the photo of that too. But I was like, "Man, that's weird." So we get down there and there's a big log right in front of him. And so we're walking. I'm like, "It shows he's going to be right here." We come up over that log and there he is laying there. And I'm like, I look all around my buddies. I'm like, "What is that?" And they're like, "Dude, like, what did you shoot?" And I'm like, "I don't know.
That? A deer?"
Yeah, I'm like, "That's the deer. Like, that's the truck camera photos. Like, that's the deer." And they're like, we were laughing so hard, like, what just happened? And then we're like, "We got to stand this thing up to see really how tall he is." And then I stood him up on that log because he was so frozen.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know who has the video. One of my buddies has it. But we are laughing so hard and so, like, geeked up about it. It was wild. We're like, "Oh, my gosh. Like, this thing is tiny." And, yeah, it was wild. And we're like, "We got it." And I was like, "We have to take photos of this thing standing up to even do it justice."
Well, that's what honestly, like, laying down, you can tell his rack doesn't look normal compared to, like, his body. Like, I was looking at all the pictures on your social media. And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." But when you stand him up, I don't know how tall you are, but
I'm 6'4".
Okay, so you're a tall guy.
Yeah.
But, like, you're hunched over.
Yes.
And it looks like, so I had a 100-pound German Shepherd. It looks like my dog with a rack on it. Like,
yeah.
it just looks not normal. And that's like I said, like, you had to have, when you saw him, you're like, "What? That is a small deer." I mean, you talked about, I don't know if you actually weighed him, but, I mean, you wouldn't, what did you think he weighed, like 100 pounds?
100 pounds, maybe a little bit more, but not much more.
I mean, that's a, now I know we're in different areas, but where we're at, we're in crop country, you know where we're at.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a yearling.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
A male, you know, now a doe, I mean, big does up here can get a lot bigger than that. And
yeah.
So that was weird. And then, like I said, like the legs just, you know, it looked like me.
Yeah,
it looked like a smaller version of me, actually.
That's what, like, the legs on it was just so short. Like, his body is, of course, his body wasn't like a normal sized body, but, like, he was kind of a little bit longer still.
Mm-hmm.
But his short, like, his legs were just so short, like, extremely
and
short.
Everything else looked pretty normal. Like, did he have normal tarsal glands and, like,
no.
Okay.
He did. They were not, I don't even know what you call it when they're all browned up like that.
Like, he wouldn't rut it up. Like, I call it rutted up. Yeah.
Yeah, rutted up. Yeah. Like, he wasn't, like, they weren't black or brown or anything like that.
Interesting.
What
about, like, his, I'm just curious. I'm sure you, like, were checking things out. Okay. So the shot, what happened on the shot? Did you hit him back?
Okay. No. double lung shot. Perfect double lung. All I hit was lungs.
And it was brown blood.
Brown blood. Yep.
There's something when up with that deer.
Him, yeah. Yeah, when I took him to the taxidermist, I was like, because I didn't get back till like 3 in the morning, and they do processing as well. And I was like, will you guys check like where I hit this deer? And I was like, I know I hit, I think I hit him liver guts. And they were like, dude, you hit him perfect in the lungs, like blew the lungs up. I was like, how did that happen? Like, that doesn't make any sense, especially with that, I mean, 2.3-inch cut or 2.2-inch cut going through it. Like, they said it was mangled.
Huh.
I was like, he ran 230 yards. Like, how is that even possible?
Did he have balls?
He did, yeah.
Huh.
A big set of balls.
Big old balls on the boy.
Big set of balls. My gosh, dang. I mean, there were size, it, like baseballs dang near. Little, not that big, but like close. We were like, gosh, dang, little
that's
body.
Funny. That's one of them ones that you're like, hey, don't let the size fool you, guy. You know? Well, that's funny. It just, like I said, that photo, I don't know how I got lucky enough to just see that photo. I don't know if I scrolled. I don't remember how I saw it, but the second I, and that's the photo we'll use on the episode release for everybody listening, but it just, like, as soon as you see that picture, you're like, that deer is, you know, it looks like a toy. It looks fake. You know, and especially, like, hate to say this, with AI, I was like, oh, this is fake as fuck. And and then I, you know, kept scrolling. I'm like, no, this kid's not faking anything. This is a real like, this is a real deer.
I think we found him at midnight maybe.
Uh-huh.
And I sent my dad a photo, and that next morning when he woke up and seen it, he was like, dude, why are you playing games with me? Like, that's AI. Because I've got him with some AI stuff before, like elk and stuff, just messing with him. And he was like, I'm like, no, dude, it's not AI. Like, this is legit. Everyone thought it was AI. Like, everyone. All my buddies that weren't there.
I'm sure you're still getting that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm still getting that. Yeah, like when – so Buckmasters posted I think it's Buckmasters.
I mean, that is a thing.
Yeah. They posted it on Instagram, and, I mean, all the comments were like, man, it's AI. Like, this ain't real. I'm like, I swear it's not.
Oh God, I cannot wait to ask you the question I want to get to, but I'm gonna let it get there naturally.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, your buddies and you. I mean, I don't know how I would be able to concentrate on, you know, getting them gutted and doing the stuff I got to do, you know, before getting in the processor. I'd just be so geeked out about, you know, what I unknowingly just shot, you know, which is what's funny to me. Once you got them, it's obvious how small he is.
Yeah.
But the human brain is what is interesting to me here, right? Because 100 out of 100 hunters that would have hunted that deer would have not noticed that before they killed him. Because it's nothing that your brain is thinking about. You know, a piebald deer, we know exists. And so when you see that, you know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a dwarf deer in my life. I'm sure people are out there right now going, you're an idiot. They're all over the place, blah, blah, blah. But I've never seen one, heard about it, seen a picture, and I'm just being honest. So if I'm in the woods and a dwarf deer walks through, that's not something I'm even thinking about. It's, hey, that he's got a small body, or look at that big-ass rack. That's the funny thing. That rack had to look so much bigger than it might. I don't even know how big he was. You can tell me. But, like, that rack – that's a 210-inch deer, you know? Like,
yes. I mean, he's right at 140 inches.
Good deer.
His mass is, good 8-pointer with a kicker.
Solid deer.
But when he walked in, I thought it was like,
that's a 170-inch 8-pointer.
Yeah. I was like, this deer's an absolute giant. And that's what I call him. But he's like, this deer's an absolute giant. Like, this deer just blew up on me. Like, I don't know how it gained 30 inches from the trail camera to when I seen him. But I was like, it's the biggest 8-pointer I've ever shot. He was 140 inches.
Well, so, like, even his head, was his head, everything smaller on him, like his actual head, not his rack?
Yeah, his head was small.
Everything was small.
Yeah, kind of short, stubby head on him.
Yeah. Normal teeth? Did you, like, open his mouth up? Everything was normal in there? It's just, like, we'll get to the, okay, so, obviously, you took him to the taxidermist / processor. I don't understand the double lung thing with brown blood, unless there's just something wrong with that deer in general, which
I think
there's got to be, right?
Yeah, something.
But especially, like, if he didn't have tarsals, I wondered if, like, he wasn't even rutting. Like, that wasn't, you know, he did have balls, but, like, you know, that's in the rut. You would think, when did you kill him? What day? Like, date? November something?
Yeah, let me look real quick.
Like, in the rut, right? I don't need
it. Yeah, you don't need it. Yeah, middle of the rut.
Yeah, so, like, he should be smelly, stinky.
Yeah.
Tarsaled up, like, all that. Although he did rub that tree, most likely, so... Yeah, it's just, you know, yeah, it's kind of weird. It's just there's a lot of, like, weird things that why would he have brown-ass blood?
Yeah.
Why is he not got tarsals, really, to speak of? You know, just some weird stuff. So you do that. You take him there. He's double-lunged, which, by the way, that's a tough-ass deer to make it 200 and some yards getting double-lunged. It's almost like something's wrong. Like, he didn't realize he was shot. I don't know. But... So my first question is, how do I want to ask these questions? And because they're both so interesting. Okay, you took him to the taxidermist. I'm going to be so angry at you if you did not get a full body mount.
Don't ask me about it.
What are you doing with him?
So I dropped him off. It was 2 a.m. or whatever. Yep.
You getting a shoulder mount? You got to do. Oh, can you reverse it? Can you reverse it? Oh man,
I was so sick to my stomach. I was so tired and had no sleep from the whole camping trip.
Yeah,
I dropped him off there, and I was like, "Man, can you cape this thing out for me?" And I forgot to tell him to cape the whole thing out for life size.
Sure.
And I woke up that next morning. I was like, "Did I tell them to like cape this whole thing? Like, what did I tell him?" My dad's like, "You're getting it life size, right?" And I'm like, I need to call them because I don't know what I told them last night.
Yeah.
They're like, man, we caped it out last night. And I was like, fuck. Oh, my God.
If anybody is listening to this show right now that knows a way that they can still somehow do this for Owen, they need to reach out to us. I don't know. Obviously, his cape is ruined as far as, like, the whole body. But there's got to be, like, a way that a replica could be made that can – that can go on this. I don't know of any taxidermist out there that could figure that out, but if somebody could and wants to hook Owen up, somebody needs to reach out to us because this deer has to be a life-size mount somehow. You know, because as obviously you know, like your shoulder mount, you'll have to tell the story because nobody will really probably tell.
Correct.
You know,
like I'm going to have to get a picture, that picture.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to have to.
Which, like I said, that's what sucks about shooting a deer and then having to track it late at night. Like, you're just tired. You just want to get things over with. You know, I've made so many dumb decisions, like when I've dropped them off at the processor and I didn't get, I don't know, like I didn't get the back straps or I didn't get the inner loins. And I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? And it's too late, you know. So, yeah, we've all been there. But once again, you're the only one who's been there with a dwarf deer. So
I'm so sick to my stomach. Everyone's asked me, he's like, man, I can't wait to see that life size mount. I'm like, just please stop asking me.
And once again, like, I didn't know that. So like, I'm just waiting the whole time to ask you this.
I was hoping you weren't going there. I was like, please don't ask me.
Oh, you knew, you probably had to, he's like, this dude's coming. It's coming. But my other question is this, like, did you happen to, I'm just out of curiosity, did you happen to talk to any like DNR people or like biologists about if this is a normal thing? Like, I would be so curious. Is this a possibility? Is it a 1 out of 2 million, you know, deer have dwarfism? I mean, obviously humans have dwarfism, so it is a genetic trait of certain species. I would assume it's a genetic trait of deer, but I've never seen it. So I just wonder how rare it really is.
Yeah, so I didn't talk to any DNR people about it. We looked it up. It said it's like basically like winning the lottery.
It's like shooting a 250-inch deer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so if we want to talk about like some other stuff about it, so I was reading comments on one of my posts, and someone said it has piebald genetics.
Okay.
For them to get a dwarf deer, which that could be true, that could be wrong, I don't know. But if I'm gonna believe him on this, okay?
Well, and you literally saw a piebald doe.
I seen that piebald doe. I also shot a piebald doe in rifle season off it.
So those genetics are out there.
Yes. And it just had white on its face, like kind of coming by its eye and down by its eye. So there was definitely piebald genetics there. So that would make sense if he's right and he's onto something there. That's like the only thing I can think about. Like I just don't know.
But
what
he himself had no like odd markings as far as coloring. He was brown. Like he was a deer color.
Brown. Yeah, brown.
I'll have to do some research, like just some Googling, because I didn't want to know anything about your deer before talking to you. Mostly because when we do these Tales of the Chase episodes, I like hearing it for the first time, just like the listeners hearing it for the first time, if I can help it. I mean, some of them, I know the story, some of them are friends and, you know, I know a lot of it, but in this case, like all I knew was the picture and I reached out to you and said, do you want to do a podcast? And you said, yes, like, that's it. So like, I don't know any of that information as far as like dwarfism and, I was almost going to say it's got to be like winning the lottery as far as deer hunting because, you know, dwarfism in humans, I don't know how, you know, like what the numbers are, but it's obviously not very common.
Correct.
But there's 6 billion of us on the planet. There's bound to be, you know, some dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I have never heard of one in the hunting world.
See, I haven't heard of that many either, but after that, Instagram will.
Oh, you went down a rabbit hole, didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, I had people DMing me like crazy, like, "Hey, dude, look at this dwarf I killed. Look at this one I killed. Like, look at the one I have on camera." Like crazy. Like it was more. I wouldn't say common because it wasn't like I was getting thousands of messages, but like I got 10 messages about it, which was kind of wild.
I mean,
all dwarf bucks. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm. That man, somebody's got to help Owen out with that. Somebody's got to figure it out. There's got to be a way to get this man a full body mount.
Well, I was like, well, because like my taxidermist is really good about getting other capes too, and I'm like, well, like how are we gonna get another cape?
How would you do that? Yeah,
because like his cape's the size of a doe, but his neck on him, like his neck was like big. And I was like, I mean, we're not finding a cape like this.
I don't know
like,
how you would do no it. Way. I don't know how you would do it, but there's somebody out there that knows how to do it.
There's got to be a way. I mean, all I need is the back half.
Right, yeah. Can we just, like, Frankenstein something together? Like, get a doe. Yeah. What if she's, like, a different shade of brown, though? Oh, well, screw it. We'll figure it out.
That's what the prob would be.
Yeah, they're not going to be the same color. But,
no.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to get, like, a large picture, like, you hang next to them. I know there's, like, have you heard of digital taxidermy?
Yeah.
So that, like, I would almost even look into that, too. I don't know. He's obviously not going to have one of those as an option, but, like, that would be kind of cool, too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Have you seen, like, the 3D printed, like, the full life-size mounts that you can buy? So they take laser measurements of your deer, and then they can make, like, a rack for you that's the size, like, you can hold it in the palm of your hand. They can make I bet they could take that picture that you took of them and make you a replica, however big you want to make of that too.
There's got to be a way to get something
for you. But yeah, somebody's got to reach out to us and let us know what Owen can get as somehow some sort of a life size mount of that deer, whether it's an actual one or a 3D printout or something. Because I mean, you'll go through the rest of your life and probably never see something like that again.
No, I know.
I mean,
that's what's so sickening to me. Like, I was just in Vegas for the NFR and Cowboy Christmas, and we had a booth up there for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and there was a booth right next to us, and he was like, "Yeah, like you guys are from Oklahoma." We're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I seen this midget deer that came out of Oklahoma," and I was like, "Yeah, that's me." And he's like, "No way." He's like, "Did you get that thing life size?" And I was like, "No, man, please stop."
Moral of the story from this show is everybody needs to stop asking Owen if he's getting a life-size mount.
Yes.
Because he's about to lose himself.
Yes, I'm about to.
So that property is going to go away. Either you've already sold it or it's going to sell at some point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't hear about something like that again. You know, if the people that buy it are hunters. I mean, you saw 2 piebald does there. You killed one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's still one of them running out there. And if that is part of the genetics, then, like, it's probably going to continue on, you know. I don't know anything about the genetic side of it. If anybody knows that's listening to our show and wants to reach out and kind of educate us on that, I would be very interested in it. I almost want to do a show following up, like, with a DNR person in Missouri or something and ask them about dwarfism and, you know, just, I don't know, it'd be really interesting to learn about. I mean, you know, I'm tired of talking about CWD and all that other shit that maybe we can talk about dwarfism. But, dude, that is the coolest, craziest story that I think I've probably ever listened to be honest with you. I mean, like, especially with one, like, the hunt isn't that, like, you saw the deer a week before, you went and hunted them and you killed them, like, done.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
But just, that, it's just, to me, that's crazy. And like you said, like, you'll never, somebody was asking me, what was it? So I'm a big coyote hunter, and I want to kill a black coyote as bad as I would want to kill a 200-inch deer. And somebody was asking me, which one would you rather kill? Mm-hmm. And I feel like a black coyote is so much more rare than a 200-inch deer is nowadays. That you would almost want to pick the black coyote, because I've never seen one in my life. Now, I've never seen a 200-inch deer either. But, like, I would just almost guess they're more rare. I don't know the numbers, but I would like to know, like, which is more rare.
I've seen one person brought one into the taxidermist the other day, and they sent me a photo. That's the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah. And some of them are, like, when I talk about black, so I had a German Shepherd that was considered black sable. Like, I'm talking about that. Like, not, you know, not the ones that are kind of a dark coat, you know, maybe just a little darker coat. I'm talking, like, a nice, like, and some of them, like, even some of them have a white patch, you know, on their chest here and there. But, yeah, dude, that is the coolest thing ever. I mean, you have struck hunting gold, essentially, right?
Yeah.
You'll be talking about this for the rest of your damn life. So that's a win right there. And that's why we hunt, you know. It's obviously we hunt because we like to eat the meat. We like to have them on our wall. And the biggest thing is, you know, we don't get these mounts and stuff like that because we're vain. It's because every time, I don't know why my damn thing does that. It's because every time we look at them, we go back to that day. We go back to that story. And I know, like, before I die someday, I'm going to have to put a book together with the stories of all these, because, you know, I don't want the stories to die with me. I want the mounts to live on, right? So
100%.
Yeah. Dude, Owen, congratulations.
I appreciate it.
That is, I don't know what else to say about it. No more questions about full body mounts, folks. You everybody hear this?
No more questions about that.
Until we can get him hooked up and he can say, yes, I am getting it done.
Yeah.
But hey, Owen Bellis, man, we appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. And we'll holler at you later.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.